Tonight is Monday night, December the 1st, or 4th of Kislev. This is the Gemara Share, Randaf Chavchas Amid Aleph, Masech HaSukkah. Okay, Rabotai. Actually, Randaf Chavchas Amid Aleph. Okay. The Mishnah on the Chav Ches Amid Beis had made two statements. Number one, it defined and then was amplified upon by the Braisa, describing for us what the technical obligation of dwelling in the Sukkah is, 7 days. And then the Mishnah made a statement, the second half of the Mishnah stated, Yordu Gishamim, when it starts raining, Me'emasai Mutar Lifanot, when are you permitted to leave the Sukkah? Mishitisrach HaMikveh. When the cooked item is spoiled. And then the Mishnah created a mashal. Mishalom, mashal l'mahadover omer, domer, le'eved shabal limzo kos l'rabo, v'shafach lo kiton al panav. So we'll see exactly what this means, but primarily tonight we're going to see the sugya of Yordu Gishamim, it's on Dav Chavtes Amud Aleph, about 7-8 lines from the top. Yardu Gishamim. So the Mishnah said, you're allowed to leave the sukkah when some type of cooked item, tavshil, gets ruined. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Mishitisrach HaMikveh Shel Grisin. What stage is one permitted to leave? When a cooked item of beans gets ruined. Greasing is beans. Mikveh is this like cholent made out of beans. When that gets ruined as a result of the water dripping in, that's the signal during which you are permitted to leave. Very nice. Okay? We have to explain as to what's happening here. There is a fundamental machloikis between the Rambam and the Tur as to how to interpret this phrase. Both of them have at least share a common denominator that the Mishnah is attempting to give us a lenient standard. When are you permitted to what? To leave? When you have this bean cholent get ruined, and it seems to be one of the things that will get ruined rather quickly. Rambam and Tur agree with that. When it's ruined, it'll ruin and it's rather quick. Much more so than any other mixture, any other cooked item. That will take a lot longer to ruin. So the Mishnah, in effect, is telling us, when this type of an item ruins, you are already permitted to leave the sukkah. However, the Rambam and the Tur part company, as to whether or not this is an objective criteria, or you actually have to have the beans cooking, or that's what your wife served, or that's what you decide to serve her. You have to have a tavshil, a mikveh, shel grisin in your sukkah to make that determination. So first I'll share with you the Rambam, and then the Tur, and try to understand the machloikis, what's happening. Rambam writes, in Perek Vav, Halacha Yud, our scribe is the official scribe, not even though we have plenty of other official scribes, Perek Vav Halacha Yud of Hilchos Sukkah. The Rambam writes, Misha'arin, we determine when you're allowed to leave the sukkah if it is raining. She'im yiplu l'toch ha'sukkah tipot, that if what? You were to have drops falling in, v'im yiplu l'toch ha'tavshil yiposel, if the drops were to what? Have fallen into this bean cholent, and it would have gotten ruined, under those circumstances you're allowed to leave, despite the fact that you don't have any bean cholent in front of you. It's just a symbol, it's an objective criteria by which we establish when you're allowed to leave the sukkah. When you're allowed to leave the sukkah. That's exactly the way the Rambam formulates it. And the Tur writes, that based on the fact that it says, Mishitisrach HaMikveh, if I had not told you the Rambam, what would you say? How would you read the Mishnah in a simple sense? How would you read the Mishnah simply? That when you have the bean shoot in front of you, and it's raining in, this bean shoot's terrible. And that's the way the Torah interprets it. That it actually must be in your presence in order to enable you to leave the sukkah.
It's not the bean food itself. It's whatever you're serving starts to get ruined.
Correct. And this is something that will get ruined first.
This is just an example.
Okay. But
this is an example.
But what happens if I'm not eating a bean shoulder? I'm eating a chunk made out of potatoes and meat. That's going to take another 15 minutes to ruin. So according to the tour, you have to still sit in the sukkah. Had you been eating beans, bean shoulder, you can leave right now. Because let's assume after 10 minutes of rain, enough drops fall into the bean soup to ruin it, the bean shoulder to ruin it. Fine. Say after 10 minutes, I pick myself up and leave. But if I'm not eating bean sholent, I'm eating potatoes and meat, that's going to take a half hour of rain in order to me. According to the Torah, you are not allowed to leave the sukkah because the item that you are eating is still edible. It's not yet ruined. Whereas according to the Rambam, even if you're eating meat and potato sholent, no beans in it, you're allowed to leave after 10 minutes. Because after 10 minutes, what would have happened after 10 minutes had you had your what? Your bean sholent there, it would have gotten ruined. So, you're right. One is an objective and one is subjective, and that's exactly what we're going to try to understand and precisely define what the machloikis is. What the machloikis is. So, just to launch a springboard for a second, if you remember correctly, on Daf Chaf Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara made a statement in the name of Rava that Mitzta'er is Katam in Asuka. You take a look at that Mem Chaf Vav Amud Aleph, about two-thirds of the way down. Amar Rava, Mitzta'er Katam in Asuka. Does everybody have it? It's critical. You see the two dots where it says Ochlin Achidas Aroy Chutz L'Sukkah? You see that about two-thirds of the way down? About seven lines above that. Rava Litame, Dama Rava, Mitzta'er Patam in Asukkah. Interestingly enough, there is not one Mishnah or Braisa that formulates this exemption. Mitzta'er Patam in Asukkah is a chidush of Rava. The Mishnah only told us on that Chafei that a chola is exempt. A chola is exempt. You have to be sick. But the mere fact that you are uncomfortable, mitzta'er, you're a little uncomfortable, that doesn't exist in the Gemara. The Gemara, that in the Mishnah rather, or the Braisa. Rava is the one who is mechadesh it. And in fact, if you look at the Gemara questions Rava. Boho anan tenan, cholenu misham sheyin pturim min asukah. Drash, chole in mitzta'er lo, must be that the only time that you can be exempt is if you're actually ill. But if you are simply mitzta'er, you're uncomfortable, where does that Mishnah allow you to exempt yourself from the sukkah? Answers to Gemara, what did the Gemara answer? You should remember this. Chole hu umisham shav peturin. Mitzta'er hu patav misham shav lo. Rava answers in response, the Mishnah doesn't contradict me. The Mishnah talks of choleh only. Why? Because we're including somebody else in the category of exemption. Not only is the choleh himself exempt, but anybody attending to the choleh is exempt. That doesn't exist by Mitzta'er. Mitzta'er, the only one who is exempt, is the person who is experiencing the agony himself. Fine. So that's what the Gemara says there. That's what the Gemara says. So now we can ask another question. What do I need Rava to tell me that Mitzta'er Patam in Asukah? How about our Mishnah? Yardu Gishamim. Does the Mishnah say Yardu Gishamim, you're exempt, you're allowed to leave the Sukkah? Does our Mishnah say it? Yes or no? that when our Mishnah, doesn't our Mishnah say when it's raining? We should whenever it is, whenever it's sufficient rain, we should tisrach hamikvah. Are you allowed to leave the sukkah? Yeah. So why don't we say that that's Rava's halacha? Why don't we say that that's Rava's halacha? I know what you're going to say. Okay, but this would be an illustration. It would be an illustration. What? What do you mean?
Saying that the rain.
No, it's mitzar for me. I can't eat. It's, my food is all wet.
That's the Rambam.
So now I thought somebody's going to say that there is a fundamental difference between Yordu Gishamim and Mitzar. What's the fundamental difference? I remind you to think about the famous Gaon. The famous Gaon about rain in the sukkah. I ask you to think about it. Who remembers the gong? It's not a sukkah. The halacha being conveyed according to the Rambam and the simple pshat of the Mishnah is that our Gemara is not duplicating, our Mishnah is obviously not duplicating Rava. Our Mishnah is saying that there is a certain standard of rain that when there is sufficient rain in this sukkah, this forfeits its status as a temporary abode. It's no longer a temporary abode. It's no longer a sukkah. How do I know that that's the determination? How do I know that this is the pshat? That's why the Rambam says, for example, it has absolutely nothing to do whether you have a bean chomped in front of you or not. There is a certain objective determination when this sukkah has forfeited its status as a protective home. Because even though it's an Ara'i, what's the name of this? What's the word that precedes the word Ara'i when understanding the word Tahalach of sukkah? Dirach Ara'i. Dirach Ara'i. And if you sprung the leak in your house, you would not be sitting in that house. Here too. Once there is sufficient rain, so that the raindrops would have affected a particular being cholent, that is an objective symbol that what? That this is no longer a sukkah.
You can say that for anything.
No, I'm going to show you in 2 seconds, not. In 2 seconds, I'm going to show you. That is why the Rambam codes, and Karo follows his designation, the Rambam codes Yardu Gishamim and the Halacha of Mitzayir in 2 separate halachas, 4 halachas apart. Perek Vav, Halacha Beis, the Rambam discusses the Halacha of Yardu Gishamim, and 8 halachas later, in Halacha Yud, the Rambam discusses the Halacha of Mitzayir. Mitzayir is not an objective criteria. There is no such thing as mitzayir objectively defined. I'll give you an example. Let's assume it's 30 degrees. 30 degrees. Most people can't sit in the sukkah when it's 30 degrees. But I have a greater tolerance for cold. Right? So 30 degrees wouldn't bother me. For me, to bother me, it would have to be 16 degrees. I ask you, am I obligated to continue eating in the sukkah when the temperature is 29 degrees? The answer is yes. I am obligated to eat in the sukkah. Because that's Rava's halacha. Rava's contribution is that above and beyond the objective criteria which determines that this house is no longer a house, this residence is no longer a residence, the objective determination is determined by when there is sufficient rain to have room to be in the chulin, and that is objective. It's got nothing to do whether I like watery bean soup. It's got nothing to do if I'm eating bean soup or not. I'm not eating anything. That's the objective criteria which now determines that the schach is not doing its job. That's the Mishnah. Now comes Rava and adds another halacha. In addition to the objectively set criteria, we now have another halacha, namely personal agony. personal agni. That's mitzayir. Personal agni is a function exactly the way it's defined. Personal. So if you can take, if your comfort level is after 60 degrees, it's too cold for you, you're allowed to leave the sukkah. Somebody else is 50 degrees, he has to stay till 50. There is no objective determinant. Same thing with heat. Some people are after 80 degrees, it's too hot, I can't sit in the sukkah. Some people say it's plenty okay, I can stay till it's 98. Some people doesn't bother them with one or two bees swarming around. You'll need a whole hive to get you upset. And other people with one bee driving them nuts. That's it. He's out of there already. That's Ravas Halacha. And it's perfectly illustrated by virtue of the fact that neither Rambam nor Karo code the Halacha of Gishamim and Mitzar in the same Halacha. The Rambam in two different halachas, eight halachas later, Karo, two separate simanim and Shulchan Aruch. Two separate simanim and Shulchan Aruch. Siman, Tof, Reish, Mem for Mitzta'er, Siman, Tof, Reish, Lametes for Yardu Gisham. For Yardu Gisham. That's the Rambam's perspective. The Tur believes, however, Rabotai, that Yardu Gishamim, in effect, is the same type of halacha as what? As Mitzrayim. He believes it's really the same halacha. What did Rava do according to the Tur? What did Rava do? He just expanded it from the illustration in the Mishnah. According to the Mishnah, what really is being conveyed to us, it's not a halacha in the sukkah. Because the Torah says, in order for you to leave, what must you have in order to leave when the beans would have gotten ruined? You have to be eating bean shalt. But if you're not eating bean shalt, so what happened? You're eating meat and potatoes. So when will you be mitzta'er over the loss of the meal? When will you be mitzta'er? When the meat and the potatoes get ruined. So that's always subjectively determined. When there is enough rain to ruin the next meal, then you're in agony. I can't eat anymore. I'm hungry, I'm starved, and the food, which was prepared so delicately for me, I can't eat anymore. It's getting ruined. So what happens then is, according to the Rambam, there are in effect three separate halachas. There is a halach of chole, which drags along with him his mishamshin. That means you're ill. Obviously that relates to you. That's not an objective standard in the sukkah, but you're sick. You are sick. Very simple. And sick, we know what sick means also. We know what sick means. We can use a definition that the Gemara uses all over the place. Don't have to be deathly ill. Nafal lemishkav is already considered sick. What does Nafal lemishkav mean? You can't function. Literally, it means you have to lie down. And the Rebbe always said, it doesn't mean you have to lie down. It means you're not well enough to carry on your normal, regular activities. What you would normally do, you don't feel well, you can't regularly, what you normally expected to do, I can't do. I have a terrible headache. So if a terrible headache, you can't do whatever you normally do. So that's one halacha. Chayla, it includes the mishamshin. Two, there is a halacha in the sukkah. That the sukkah becomes disqualified, that's our Mishnah of Yarud HaGishamim. From the perspective of the Mishnah, there doesn't exist a subjective exemption. Mitzar doesn't exist in the Mishnah framework at all. That's added by Rava. That Mitzar, Patam and Asar. According to the Tur, there are only two designations. One is chole, which now includes misham shav. Number two happens to be what? Mitzar, and Yehuda Gishamim is the address for Mitzar. It's synonymous. And I don't really know. All Rava did was say it's not only the Mitzar of rain, it's the Mitzar of cold, it's the Mitzar of bees, it's the Mitzar of sunlight. That's all. Very simple. Heat. That's the machlokes between... What? No, the Gemara doesn't give any answer. The Gemara, you have to know what is Rava saying when he says, Amar Rava, Oynis, Mitzar, Patam, and Asukah. According to the Rambam, it's a new category.
Well, when the Gemara asked him, how did he know?
No, the Gemara didn't ask how did he know. The Gemara, he challenged him. Because the Mishnah didn't use that illustration. The Mishnah only said Chole. Says Rava, I'll tell you why Chole. Because it includes Mishamshav. You'll ask me, why didn't the Mishnah give you an illustration of Mitzah? I don't know why. Rava didn't say, he doesn't know why the Mishnah doesn't document such a p'tur. He doesn't know. The biggest nafkamina between the two is, I want to be Machmer. According to the Rambam, you can't be Machmer. Why? Why can't you be Machmer? Because it's not a sukkah. So to go in when it's raining and say, you know what? I don't mind eating, this rain doesn't bother me. I don't care if I have my bean soup and get ruined. I can eat ruined bean soup. That doesn't bother me. According to the Rambam, be a bracha levatala. According to the Rambam, first night of sukkahs, as soon as it's raining, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, you don't go into the sukkah. You don't go into the sukkah. Why? Because the only thing that we learn out that the first night doesn't apply is the halach of mitzta'er doesn't apply the first night of sukkahs. Mitzta'er doesn't put in the, is not exempt the first night of sukkahs. But you have to have a sukkah to go into. And the Gaon said, I fundamentally disagree with the Ramah. The Mechaber writes that the halach of Teshvu Ke'en Toduru applies all 7 days. And that there is no obligation to wait the first night above and beyond any other night. The Ramah writes, no, you have to wait. And if it's raining at midnight, you go in with your boots and your raincoat, you make kiddush, and you say, eat bread, eat a kizayit of bread, and then go in and finish the meal someplace else, in the house. Going to the Rambam, you don't wait that long, and if you would wait, you'd be making a bracha levatala, because it's not a sukkah. So you can't, those are the two differences. On a third day of Chol HaMoed, you can't be machmir if it's raining, and on the first night, you're exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah, even though normally the first night is an absolute chayva to engage in eating. According to the Tur, he will agree with the Rashba, excuse me, with the Ramah, that there's a fundamental difference the first night and all other nights. First night, we apply the halacha mitzvah and asukah doesn't apply. Because there's a chayva, an independent chayva to eat. So if it's cold, I have to eat in the sukkah the first night of kizayis. Well, if it's raining, I have to eat the kizayis too. And that's what the Ramah writes. That's the basis of the Ramah. And number two, according to the Tur, even if it's pouring cats and dogs, and I want to be machmir and say, you know what, it doesn't bother me. I'll put on a raincoat, it doesn't bother me. You're allowed to go in, and you can make a bracha as well, according to the Torah. Yes?
What would the Rambam say that you don't have to wait? So it's raining now. I understand they don't have a sukkah right now. The Rambam would say you don't have to
Correct, wait. Because the halacha is, as we will soon see a little later, once you start, once the zman comes for your meal, there is no halachic obligation to say, you know what, I'm going to eat 3 hours from now. You don't have to do that. The only reason why we do that is because we accept the Ramo says that ultimately there's no exemption. So if there's ultimately no exemption, let's wait. Maybe it'll be decent conditions. But if you are exempt, there's no reason to wait. No reason to wait. Yeah? So that's the Machloikis, the Rambam, and the Tur. There is another opinion who believes, namely the Or Chaim, in the name of the Rabbeinu Peretz, and the Meiri quotes it as well, that the example found by our Mishnah of Grisin is to be Machmir and not to be Makil. Namely, every other dish will get wet, will get ruined earlier. Grisin is the last dish to ruin, to get ruined. The last dish to get ruined. And what the Mishnah is saying here is l'chumrah. not only do I have to stay in the sukkah when my meat would have gotten ruined, I even have to stay in the sukkah until when? Until the, which is the last, based on tests which the Chachamim made, that is the thing that will get ruined last. He doesn't say that I agree with the Torah that you have to be eating that. Just the opposite. It's the objective standard. What is the objective standard? That my sukkah is no longer a sukkah? What is that objective sukkah standard when my sukkah is no longer a sukkah? When the last item would have gotten ruined. When the last item. The last item to get ruined in a sukkah happens to be greasy. That's what the Rabbeinu Peretz, quoted by the Or Chaim, and the Meiri cites this as the Meiri cites this as well. He recites it as well. Yeah. Okay. Now. There is another difference between the Rambam and the Torah, which is cited by the Ran. The Ran says, what happens if you're not eating at all? You're learning. And it starts raining. Are you obligated to go ahead and to what? To continue learning. You're sleeping, and it starts raining. And you're obligated to what? And it starts raining. Are you obligated to continue sleeping in the sukkah or not? So now, Rabotai, you tell me. You tell me what happens according to the Rambam and according to the Torah. According to the Rambam, it's not a sukkah. So as soon as it rains sufficiently so that my bean chose would have gotten ruined, you pick yourself up and you leave the sukkah. It makes no difference whether you're learning. Precisely. Knowing whether you're learning, whether you're sleeping. And according to the Torah, when are you allowed to leave the sukkah? What? When I, exactly. When I can't learn anymore. Whenever I can't learn anymore. When you're allowed to, when you're sleeping, when the drips are dropping on your head or your blanket's getting so wet that you can't sleep anymore. But until that point, you are obligated to remain in the sukkah. So that's another difference in relationship to that. Then the Ran makes another point. Then our Gemara, let me ask you this question. What standard should be a stricter standard? When you're in the sukkah already, and then it starts raining? Or it's raining before you even went in? When would you adopt a more stringent approach to exempt you from sukkah, either from exempting you to continue to eat the sukkah, or exempting you from entering the sukkah in the very first place? Which would you think is the more lenient approach, and which is the more stringent approach? What? Good, you can say there is no difference. The Ran believes there is. And he believes that the stringent standard is when you have already begun the mitzvah. Correct. I've established that it's a sukkah already, and under those circumstances, once you're already engaged in the mitzvah, we're going to try to egg you on until what? You know what? Finish up already. Finish eating.
That doesn't work so well with the Rambam.
Just once. I know it doesn't. However, according to the Ran, if you have not yet entered the sukkah, any type of mitzvah whatsoever will do. So if I don't like getting two drops on my head before I sit down and eat, under those circumstances, you don't even have to wait until what? Until the first drops of, until the rain would have what? Ruined my bean chal. You don't have to wait for it. So there is a lower standard if you have not yet entered the sukkah. The more stringent standard that you wait until this particular point is only if you have already begun, so writes the Ran. So writes the Ran. Yeah. What is that? I agree with that. I think the Ran is operating according to the Torah, 100%. It would make much more sense according to the Torah. But we're getting right there. Abaye has a Yosef Kamei de Rav Yosef in Mitalalta. Abaye was sitting in the sukkah in the presence of Rav Yosef. Noshav Zika, the Komaisi Tzibusa. A wind came and blew some splinters off the wood of the sukkah into his, whatever he was eating. It wasn't raining, a little windy, and broke off some splinters of the wood that fell into his food. Amalhu, so he said to him, Rabbi Yosef, Abai said to Rabbi Yosef, Tanuli mani mehacha, get rid of my utensils from here. Let's go inside. Amarli Abaye, so Abaye said to him, Rabbi Yosef said to Abaye, Rabbi Yosef said to Abaye, I'm out of here. Let's go upstairs. Amarli Abaye, v'hotnan mishitisrach ha-mikveh. It says in our Mishnah that when are you allowed to leave the sukkah? When the beans would have been ruined. The bean chalt is not going to be ruined by a couple little thin pieces of wood falling into it. That's not going to ruin it. That's what Rashi says. It's talking about that the pieces of wood are so small, insignificant, that you can eat the chalent nonetheless. Amale, so Rabbi Yosef answered, Lididi, Kevan da Anina Datoi, since I can't take it, I'm like an Isthmus, I can't take it, Kimi Shetisrach HaMikveh Domili. For me, I treat it as if what? As if the bean soup has been ruined. I can't take it. Good. Would you say, Rabotai, that Rav Yosef supports Rambam? Or is this, who is this, what is happening here? What? Okay, you're saying it's a tour. Good. Or give me another thing. Good. According to the Rambam, rain is the standard in what? Good. But? So whose halacha is this? So whose halacha? It's Rav's halacha, it's time. For you it bothers, so go say goodbye, Charlie. Goodbye, Rabbi Yosef. For you, that's a personal halacha. Abai, that's the debate between Abai and Rava. Abai is trying to say that what? Excuse me, Abai and Rabbi Yosef, that's the debate. Abai is trying to tell him there's only one standard in the Mishnah. Namely, the objective standard of disqualifying the sukkah. Rabbi Yosef said, you know why you don't agree with it? Because you never liked what your friend always said. Who does Abai argue with all the time? Rava. Your opponent Rava already said no. That if there's a halacha mitzvah, put them in a sukkah. And for me, I can't take eating anything with little, you know, sometimes, you know what? You know, a lot of people used to put pine trees on the sukkah. Eschat. Right. And what happens every couple of minutes? What happened? The pine needles are into your soup, into this, everybody remembers that. So Rabbi Yosef was so finicky that he couldn't take any of the pine needles. So that's the halacha of Rava. And Abaye apparently disagreed with it. According to Abaye, that's what he said. Why are you telling me to clear the stuff out of the sukkah? The sukkah's still a kosher sukkah. It says, Mishut Tisrach. So Rabbi Yosef said, I'm not arguing with you. But there's a second halacha called Mitzvah Potamana Sukkah. That's your friend Rava. I know you don't like Rava. But that's the halacha. And for me, I'm allowed to go ahead and take advantage of that.
What
is
the word
Mitzvah? What?
What is the answer in the language?
That's a good tasha. I don't know better how to explain it. But he is saying that. Okay. Hey, that's what he's saying.
It's also interesting that he phrases it, though, in the language of
Mishitisra Hamakta.
In other words, it actually...
Right, he's saying... I hear what you're saying. That's why it flows a little more nicely like the Torah. I grant you that. Because Abaye, what Rav Yosef's answer was, that this is Kemisha Nisrach HaMikveh. It's as if the beam's not right. Exactly. I grant you that. His response, the way it's phrased, seems is to support that. There's no doubt about it. Okay, let me get invited. Tana Rabbanan, Hayaochel b'sukkah v'yardu gishamim. Somebody was eating in the sukkah and it started raining. V'yorad, and he left the sukkah as he was supposed to do. Now, 10 minutes later, it stopped. Ein matrichen oso la'alos ad shiyigmar sudasai. He is not obligated to return to the sukkah until when? Until he finishes the meal. In other words, to start the next meal. Many point out that the reason why the expression of la'alot is to go into the sukkah and loredes is to go out of the sukkah, because typically where were most people sukkot? On their roofs. Exactly. Sukkah was on the roof. And as a result, you are ole to the sukkah, and you are yored from the sukkah. Very nice. Now, this shir is, so point number one. Some Rishonim, the Ritva, and others ask the question, this is only telling you if it started raining in the middle. Now, we know that if it's raining before you start eating, you're allowed to eat the whole next meal, and you don't have to worry about it until when? Till the next meal. Question is, no, maybe I should say just the opposite. Say that this brisa says, when do I have a right to leave the sukkah when it starts raining? When I started the meal. But if I didn't start the meal, what option is there? Wait. That just as we wait on the first night, why don't we say that there's a halacha to what? To wait every single night?
Or even maybe once you started, you have to...
No, our Gemara says once it starts, you don't have to.
I don't say, but let's say you started in the house because it was raining, and then it stops raining. According to this, what you're saying, maybe you have to...
No, that wouldn't be as compelling, because that shouldn't be any worse than if you were in the sukkah and you came out. But once the point of this gemara is that if you're in the middle of a meal, you don't have to interrupt. But my question was, it started to rain. The forecast is for it to stop in a half hour. Why am I not obligated to wait for at least a half hour? Why not? So what the Ritva says is, because you have to read our gemara as the chiddush. It's the Chiddush, and it's exactly what we said 2 minutes ago. That undoubtedly, if it started raining before you ate, of course you don't have to go into the sukkah. The Chiddush is that if I had already started, I would have adopted a more stringent standard to expect you to finish. Come on, you got another couple of minutes. Stay there already. Finish it up already. Kamash Malan the Bryson, no. That even if you already started in the sukkah, if it is raining, you're allowed to go inside. But kal v'chaymer, if you have not yet started and it's raining, that you are permitted to do so as well. And when does the Gemara enable you to leave the sukkah? Until when can you stay out of the sukkah after you left? Ach yidmar sudasai. Very nice. Again, I posit the question. What happens if you're learning? Okay? I go upstairs, and I'm learning. I'm learning in the sukkah. It starts raining. I go inside, 10 minutes later it stops. At what point am I obligated to what? To return to the sukkah? At what time can I go ahead and to say, no, you can finish whatever you're learning, And the next time that you learn, you have to go to the back into the subject. In other words, is there any parallel to other activities of Ach Yigmo Sudasai? So by sleep, you can tell me what it is, as the Gemara will say. What's the sleeping criteria?
Till the next morning.
Till the next morning, exactly. So if it rains in the middle of the night, you're allowed to go into the house until the next morning, so the next time period of sleeping, which is probably going to be tomorrow night. What about by learning? Is there any such criteria? So some Rishonim say the following.
You know, the guys couldn't waste time? I mean, what's he
going to talk? No, that's not what they say. Say some Rishonim, it depends. If you have, when you sit down to learn, if you have a kavua amount that you're going to learn, for example, so he's doing the Daf Yomi in the Sukkah. And he knows that this seating of learning is until I finish the Daf. Then he goes inside, it starts raining, he's got another half an Amud left. You're allowed to finish that half an Amud upstairs, and now if you want to start some other learning, you have to go back into the Sukkah. But if you so if you have a normal seder, I do Shnayim Mikavechot Targum. So I'm reading, you know, I do that with the Parsha. So I'm doing Shnayim Mikarechana. You read every Pasuk twice and once the Targum. So if I do that in the middle, so that's the whole Parsha, you do Shnayim Mikarechana Targum. If you're in the middle of the Parsha, you don't have to go back into the Sukkah even if it starts raining. When you finish it, then you have to. Same thing if you normally learn a Perek of Tanakh, you learn a Perek of Mishnayis. Whatever you normal, you're a chassid of the Lubavitcher. So the Rambam, they do two Perekim of Rambam every single day. It's printed on the calendar. Right now they're up to someone in Hilchas Tzulei Amadashim. So under those circumstances, you're allowed to finish your unit. So Ach Yigmar Sudaso is indicative that whatever activity that you're involved in, you're allowed to finish that very same activity, and then to begin the next one, only then must you return to the Sukkah.
So let's say you don't do a fixed amount, or then...
The what?
You don't do a fixed amount. Before.
Then you have to go back to the Sukkah immediately.
As soon as
it stops raining. Because it's not actually, there's nothing to be gomer. So now there's a chiyuv to go into the sukkah at that particular time. Hayayashen. Let's continue the Gemara. Tachas ha-sukkah v'yardu g'shamin. He was sleeping in the sukkah and it started raining. V'yarad, he went into the house. Ein matrichin oso la'alos ad shiyeor. Now, if this is where the Gemara started, how would you interpret the phrase Ad Shiye Or? This is where the Gemara ended. Ad Shiye Or. Well, how would you interpret it?
Sometimes.
Until it gets, the sun comes, till daylight breaks. Till you break, till daybreak. But the Gemara is not quite sure as to how to read it. Ibayalahu. Ad Shiye Or with an ayin. Or Ad Shiye Or with an aleph. So what are the two positions? Until you wake up. Exactly. You wake up in the middle of the night and it stopped raining. So now what happens? Under those circumstances, you would have to go back to the sukkah. Or do you say achie or means until daybreak, in which case, even if you wake up in the middle of the night, it's still considered a continuation of the previous shlofi, and you're allowed to go back into the house and you don't have to go to sleep. The next time you would have to go to sleep in the sukkah would be the next night. That's the Gemara's question. Toshma, Ad Shiyor V'yalan Amur HaShachar. Until it gets light and the Amur HaShachar, the morning star, appears. Ask the Gemara, Tartik, what do you need? It's pretty much the same thing. Exactly what does this mean? Ela Ema Ad Shiyor V'yalan Amur HaShachar. So the Gemara says, no, it means just the opposite. It means until you get up, but what's the bare minimum for that? Amur HaShachar. But if you get up when? If you get up when? In the middle of the night, you don't have to go back into the sukkah. And if Amur HaShachar comes and you are still sleeping, you don't have to tell somebody, you know what, wake me up and Amur HaShachar if it's not raining. You don't have to do that. Both. At Shi'or, until you wake up, plus it has to be minimally until when? Until Amos HaShachar. That's how the Gemara resolves that.
We invite them along and
then
sleep till 3 sharp.
Out of our shelves. Right. Yes. Yeah, so
the... Is there something like the dream of the first night similar to this?
What do you mean?
Let's say you wait till midnight, right, first night, and it didn't start raining.
So you eat. According to whom? According to us?
Yes.
You eat. Eat the gezeis.
Eat the sukkah of the gezeis.
Correct. Eat the sukkah of the gezeis. Yeah.
According to those who don't, would they let them make a meal lunch? Then they can have to go back in?
Good. That's an interesting question. So based on what the Gemara says here, how would you answer that question? No. Because it's Achigmar Sudaso, and until when is the next Chiyuv to eat? Next Suda, that's next day breakfast. That's correct. In fact, this is one of the famous stories of the Rav with his father. Father woke him up. That's exactly what happened. They waited until midnight. They ate what? They didn't eat anything. Then it started raining. Then they went down in the rain, and they made Kiddush and had Challah. Then they went back upstairs, and that was it. 5 seconds later, it stopped raining. So the Rav's father wanted to say, oh, look, let's go back into the sukkah.
But they went to sleep. They finished the meal. Then he went to bed.
Right, exactly. He went to bed, and then it stopped raining, and he woke him up to go to sleep in the sukkah. And the Rav said, what are you waking me up for? This Gemara is...
I mean, he wanted to go down to enough to watch again. The Rav said, I don't have to go again.
Right. Because
if it was like the gong, so then
you don't have to eat the sukkah, it was pata.
And if it was like the
tour, it was yet to the mitzvah.
And I should tire, and I'm already asleep on pata.
Right.
Why
are you waking up? Right. Well, again, right. Mashal l'mah hadavar domeh. Here comes this ketone story. Remember the Mishnah illustrated something about when it rains on Sukkot, what is it compared to? So the Gemara says it's compared to an Eved who's coming to be Mose Kos L'Rabo, the Shafach Lo Kiton Alpanav. So Mezika, we know, has a very fixed connotation. At that time, wine was undiluted. It was very, very strong. So if you remember the Mishnah Sachem, right? Mosginlo kos rishon. Mosginlo. We translate it as to pour the second cup of wine. That's not what it means. It means to dilute the second cup of wine. You're supposed to take 3 parts water to 1 part wine. Because in order to make it drinkable. So here what happened was, the master, the Eved was being mosaic his yayin. How is he being mosaic? He had a pitcher of water. And then what did he do? He spilled the water on his master's face. Okay? That's the mashal. The question is, what's the nimshal? What are we trying to understand? So let's take a look at the Gemara. Ibayalu. Mi shafach lemi. Who spilled on whom? Sashma. The Sanya learned the Braisa. Shafach lo rabo kiton alpano. One Braisa says, no, it's not that the Eved spilled the water on his master. No, the Braisa says just the opposite. The master took the pitcher, and what did he do? And he spilled the water as the servant was about to be mosaic the yayin. The master, the rabbo, took the pitcher and spilled it on his Eved's face. The Omar lo, and he said, I'm not interested in you servicing me. I'm interested in servicing me. So what's going on here? What do these two versions symbolize? So the Gaon writes as follows. I'll tell you what's happening in the sugya. Both of them have the exact same connotation, but the question is how the illustration is provided. And the Gaon says as follows, that the way to understand this Gemara is based on the fact that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Rabotai, are Yimei Hadin. Everybody knows that. They say Amelech HaMishpat, as opposed to Melech Ohev Tzedaka U'Mishpat. They're Yimei Hadin. We call them the Yimei Hadin. Sukkot is designed, Al Pi Kabbalah, to be Mimakek Es Hadin. to be mimbatek esadin. What do I mean to be mimbatek esadin? That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that he has to administer punishment, we want him to take into consideration, we don't ask him and expect him to forgive us completely. That'd be a joke. You sin all year, and all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why should he forgive you completely? What we ask is what's called, if you remember the text in the Ribbono Shel Olam, when you take out the Sefer Torah, we say Mechila B'Chesed, namely that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should administer his punishment with a sense of Chesed. That's called Mituk Hadin, sweetening, Hamtakat Hadin. How does that accomplish by the Yontif of Sukkah? Because Sukkot is the only mitzvah which involves your entire body. Every other mitzvah I say that you do only involves certain limbs. When you're madlik neiros, it's your hands. We put on tefillin, it's our hands. You blow the shofar, it's with your mouth. You eat matzah with your mouth. You put a mezuzah on the door, so you're not getting it with your hand. There's only one mitzvah which you observe the totality of one's body. That's the mitzvah of sukkah. When you go into the sukkah, your entire body is now wrapped in a sukkah, in a mitzvah. So the hope is that by demonstrating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are prepared to engage in a mitzvah with every single limb that we possess, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this mitzvah which I did with my eyes should please, my eyes are now doing a mitzvah. So be mematek any decision that you had based on an aveira that was done by my eyes. You have an aveira that I do with my ears. I listen to Lashon Hara. So now in my mouth, my ears are in the sukkah. So please be mematek this. I went ahead and I slapped somebody in the face, so I used my hands. My hands are now in the sukkah. Fine. I ran to do an aveira, so my feet were involved in the aveira. But now my feet are in the sukkah. If it rains, that's a symbol from the Ribbono Shel Olam that he's not interested in being mematek the din. He's denying us the opportunity to engage in what? In the mitzvah of sukkah. So the Gaon says that's the pshat in the Braisa. The Braisa is that we are the Avodim, and we are coming with the Kiton Shelmayim to what? To be dilute the cup of the Master. The Master is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Kiton Shelmayim and he dumps it on us, the Avodim, and that's symbolically representing the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Master, is raining upon us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in effect saying, I'm not interested in your mitzvah of sukkah. I'm not going to give you the opportunity to eat in the sukkah. And I'm announcing, in effect, that I reject your plea for hamtakat hadin. I reject. And that the decision that will be reached, particularly according to the Balei Kabbalah, when is that final decision made? Not on Yom Kippur, but rather when? On Hashanah Rabbah. So therefore, it's on a Hashanah Rabbah. It's after 7 days of what? Of living in that sukkah. But if now it rains and you can't fulfill it for 7 days, it's the symbol for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you are, that I have rejected that plea. That's the Braisa which places the emphasis on that the Master poured it on us. The first version, where the simple version of the Mishnah, not the Braisa, where the Eved spilled it on whom? On the Master, it's in effect, we are upset with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Why, it's as if I'm taking the rain, the water, and pouring on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like I'm going to slap it back at him. Why are you doing this to us? And you get very, very upset that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's your fault that it's raining. Why are you doing it? So symbolically, to demonstrate our anger, how do you demonstrate that? That we, the Avadim, who are coming to serve the Master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of fulfilling our task, of sitting in the sukkah, symbolized by being mozig, that yayin, we take that pitcher of water and spill it on the master, symbolizing our anger with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are not prepared to what? To accept the fact that you are denying us this opportunity. But primarily, what the Gaon says is that the entire process has to be viewed along these lines, according to this Gemara. That Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur represent Yemei Hadin. Sukkot is the vehicle by which we gain that opportunity for Hamtakat Hadin, only on account of the fact that we have the opportunity for 7 days to observe a mitzvah with every limb in our body, therefore countering HaKadosh Baruch Hu's complaint that we may have violated a particular aveir with the limb. So here I would like it to be Matek. If it rains, says the Gemara, that the master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, seems to have denied us that opportunity, and therefore it's, as Rashi says, Siman Plama, this is now a to be taken as a very negative omen on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from us, that it's Siman Plama, that he's denying us this opportunity, and no longer seek the opportunity to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Mituk Hadin. Mituk Hadin. Okay, Rabotai, we'll stop here. And Amir Hashem, next Devach, since the rest of the Gemara is only Agadita, next Devach we should be able to finish this parak and perhaps even start Lulav HaGazel as well.